Today, I want to talk a little bit about making the bitter water sweet, but before we do that, I want to give a little plug out. Tonight at 6 o'clock, something we've been working at, I'm really excited about. I always believe in leadership training, and who is this for? This is for everyone. Anybody that comes tonight will be blessed. At 6 o'clock tonight, our one and only Dan Bortner will be talking about time management, developing your day. He's going to be talking about that. I'm not sure. Holly, where are you at? There's Holly. Holly's going, she's excited about, not nervous at all about, talking about time management, or excuse me, developing the team, dealing with the team of people around you. And then Mark is going to be dealing with personal development. And these three topics, it's only going to be an hour, and we would love to have you out here at 6 o'clock tonight. It will be well worth your time. The time will fly. Bring a piece of paper and pen. You'll have a lot of things developed on those topics. Thank you so much. But today, I want to talk a little bit about making the bitter water sweet. And to get started with, I want to show a little video. Rox, if you could throw that up there. Do we got any sound with that? Is there sound? Now, the question is, and we got to be honest about this, you're in church, how many people have fed a lemon to somebody under the age of two? Just raise your hand. That doesn't surprise me. Who else in this area, John, that doesn't surprise me at all, I'm telling you. Over in this area, who's done it? Sandy, did you feed? Nick did. There you go. And Nick's getting ready. Got a baby on the way, so that baby's in trouble, I'm telling you. You fed it to Maya? Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, sometimes we get a hold of something bitter and we don't like it, and that's going to lead us into our thought today. In Exodus chapter 15, verse 22, it says it like this. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went, how long? 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. When they came to Mara, they could not drink the water of Mara because they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Mara. And the people complained against Moses, saying what? What shall we drink? Today, I'd like to talk about how do we make those bitter situations in our life just a little sweeter? How do we make the bitterness in our community? We're in a political season. How do we make this political season? How do we make it just a little sweeter? How about at your workplace? How do we make that bitterness at workplace? How do we make that a little sweeter? How do we make the bitterness that comes in our families at times, those bitterness when it comes to health situations, how do we deal with bitterness in our life in such a way that it can be made sweet once again? The setting for this story is the children of Israel were held in captivity by Egypt. They were held in slavery. And God, through his hand, freed them. And Moses is leading the children of Israel out of Egypt, heading toward the Red Sea. They get to the Red Sea to find out that Pharaoh's army is chasing after them, wanting to pull them back into slavery. But God is faithful one more time. Aren't you glad that God is just faithful one more time? Time and time again, my Jesus is faithful. And this time he takes and he opens up the Red Sea for them. And as he opens it up, the children of Israel begin to pass through. Now, we just say this on a whim, but if you think about it, I haven't been there, but they tell me there's parts of the Red Sea that's over a mile deep. Now, think about this. The children of Israel walking through the Red Sea on what kind of ground? Dry ground. It's been wet, been muddy. I know how a pond is, don't you? You get in a pond after. Anybody been in a pond, you step in it, and the black stuff just kind of molds up? Y'all know what I'm talking about, some of you. It was dry, and you're walking through. It's not like it's a concrete wall, Johnny. It's a water of wall just standing there. Can you imagine looking up a mile and seeing nothing but water? And they're walking through, and they get to the other side only to be followed by Pharaoh's army. You see, they decided to charge through just like the children of Israel had charged through there. They begin to charge through, and they get into the center of this thing, and that wall comes down on top of them and washes them downstream. We get to chapter 15 on this in verse 1. Chapter 15, verse 1 to about 21, what it talks about is the children of Israel doing nothing but singing and dancing and praising God. I like that. They're singing and they're dancing and they're praising God. You see, any time that God has freed you from something that held you in slavery, any time that God has taken you through a situation that was over a mile deep, any time, get a hold of this, any time that God takes your past and wipes it out so it's never going to come back and get you again, he wipes it away. When you get to the other side, you have something to sing about, you have something to dance about, you have something to say thank you, Jesus, about. Every once in a while, we need to say thank you, Jesus. Let's all on a count of three. I don't think we as a church say thank you, Jesus. Mark had you saying something a while back, something glory. Glory, he had you saying glory. Let's have another word. How about just thank you, Jesus? How about a statement? Because we don't say it enough. One, two, three. Thank you, Jesus. I'm thankful that my God has a way of saving me, wiping out my past, taking care of me on a day-to-day basis. And we get to the other side, and we find the children of Israel that are singing, they're dancing, and then we go into verse 22 of chapter 15. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the wilderness of Shur, and they went how long? 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. 3 days. They went 3 days without a basic need being met in their life. They went 3 days, found no water. They were in the midst of 3 days of a messed up situation. They went 3 days without a burden being lifted. They went 3 days without a problem being solved. Some of y'all know all about that, don't you? You know what it feels like to go through life and have a problem sitting on you. Matter of fact, all of us know a little bit about that, don't we? We've all had issues, and we've waited a little while, and yet we were talking in Sunday school today about delays in life, and we've all had those times where we've been delayed. We had problems when things weren't happening like they should have been happening, and you've been delayed 3 days, and they had a burden not being lifted. You ever been there? Maybe you can relate to these pictures. How about that one? You ever had a problem? You ever lost your phone to the water? And maybe to a child? How about this one here? Now, I've not done that, but I tell you what, I did have a guy show up in a new truck in my house and had a gallon of paint in the back of the bed. It wasn't good. That's bad. This one here rings the bell. Tonight, you will get no sleep. I think the babies in this church, they meet up in the nursery, and they decide what nights you'll get sleep and what nights, parents, you won't get sleep. That happens all right there in the nursery. It's happening right now as you're in here. We all have problems at times, don't we? Amen? We can all relate. And when we talk about being thirsty, They went 3 days, they were thirsty. But you can be thirsty and nobody know it. You can come to church and you can be thirsty and not know it. You can put a big old smile on your face, grab your Bible, put it underneath your arm, be walking around. God bless you. Good to see you. And nobody know that you're thirsty. You can have a major need in your life right now. Something can be happening in your life right now. And you walk into church, you put a smile on your face, you put your Bible in your arm, and you say, good morning, everything's great, when it's not. There's burdens in your life that's not been lifted. There's problems that you're looking at, and you put that smile on your face. And you're not struggling because you're not going without luxury. No. You're struggling because you have serious needs in your life. Maybe there's medical problems that's there, and you're not getting answers to that quite yet. Maybe it has to do with your job. You're not asking God for a $250,000 job. You just a year job. You just like to have a J-O-B. You just need a job for the day. You just need to be able to have enough money to come in to pay the bills. You're not asking God for a new Lamborghini. You just like to have a car that starts when you turn the key. You ever been there? Most of us. You're not asking God for steak and shrimp every night. You just like to be able to put some food on the table. You remember those peanut butter and jelly years? Remember them ramen noodle years? They went 3 days with the problem not being solved. We get to verse 23. Now when they came to Myra, they could not drink the water of Myra, for they were, what? Bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Myra. Myra just simply means bitter. The children of Israel, let me say it like this, they got what they wanted, but it wasn't as they wanted it. You follow me on that? They got the water. They got what they wanted, but it wasn't as they wanted it because it wasn't drinkable. It was bitter. Let me say it like this. For some people, it was a college education. They worked really hard, gave out a lot of money, got a degree, only to find out when they left college, there was no job market in their field, so they had to go to another job that didn't line up with their degree because there wasn't job openings for them. They got what they wanted, but it wasn't as they wanted it. For some people, it was a relationship. You never been to church in your life, some of you guys. But you saw that girl, and she's so pretty. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You probably didn't have a button-up shirt. Jeff, you probably didn't even have a button-up shirt in your closet. You probably just had T-shirts until you saw that pretty girl, and then you put that button-up shirt on. You stole some of Dad's cologne. She's so pretty, you just want to sit near her. You just wanted to sit near her. So one day, you went to church. You weren't paying so close attention to Mark. You was paying attention to that pretty girl, and eventually she smiled and said, "Hey, would you like to sit with me?" And then you started dating her. And after 2 or 3 weeks, you found out she was beautiful on the outside, but she was ugly on the inside. That makes her pretty ugly. You got what you wanted, but it wasn't quite as you wanted it. You know, it's kind of like always the bridesmaid, never the bride. Always the bridesmaid, never the bride. Finally, you find that Mr. Right. You bring him home. You show him to Mom and Dad. Not long before you're at the wedding. The wedding, it was pretty. It was beautiful. Mr. Right was there waiting on you at the end of the aisle. Then you take him home. And you find Mr. Right is sitting in his Lazy Boy, and he doesn't know to take his shoes to the bedroom. He just kicks them off at the end of the Lazy Boy. Puts his socks there, too. All of a sudden, the cup he's drinking his tea in, it's sitting there, too, along with his dinner plate. It's sitting there beside the chair. That man doesn't even know to take his plate to the kitchen. You see, you got what you wanted, but it's not quite as you wanted it. Ladies, I don't want to hear no amens tonight. You keep that to yourself. I'm sure you got you a good man. This is where the children of Israel are at. They got what they wanted. They got what they wanted. It's just not like they wanted it. It's not as they wanted it. The water was bitter. And if it's not bad enough, Bill, Pastor Moses is not only dealing with a bitter situation, he's dealing with a bitter congregation. Now, it's one thing to have a bitter situation. Pastor Moses is dealing with a bitter congregation. In verse 24, it says, the people, what? Complained against Moses. Moses wasn't out there dumping a jug of bitterness in there. Moses didn't mess up the water. People complained against Moses saying, "What shall we drink?" Like it's Moses' fault. Let Let me ask a basic question. How did the people know? How did the people know the water was bitter? This ain't that hard, guys. They what? They tasted it. They drank it. Good. It was. They took that which was on the outside of them. They took the bitterness that was on the outside of them, and they let it get on the inside of them. That's how they knew it was bitter. They took what was on the outside of them and put it on the inside of them. I know that sounds basic, but I tell you what, people can get bitter. They get bitter about jobs. They get bitter about relationships. They get bitter about friendships. Don't let the bitterness around you get on the inside of you. Let me say that's easier said than done. Maybe all of us have been, at least Jimmy Johnson, I won't speak for you. I'll speak for me. I know that I've been guilty of letting the bitterness on the outside of me at times get on the inside of me. How about you? I've known people going through a bitter divorce. That means the kids were involved. Things got nasty. And they let the bitterness from that divorce hang with them. That divorce has moved on. How do I know that divorce is over and moved on? Well, your spouse has married somebody else. And they have kids by somebody else. But yet you can't hold down a relationship because you allowed the bitterness to get in you during the divorce, and it stayed. It never got out. We've all talked to people like that. For other people, it was mom and dad. It was a childhood. And I got to tell you, I hurt for these people. I was blessed to have a good mom and had a good dad. But as I look at my life, I know that everybody hasn't had that. And if you haven't had a good childhood, I'm sorry. But people allow the bitterness to get in them at the age of 5. And now they're 35 and they can't get over the bitterness at 5. Why are you still hanging on to the bitterness that got into you at 5, at 35? You're not there anymore. You're not living under the roof no more. Why is that bitter? Because you internalized it as a child and it never got out. Never got out. If you're not careful, your past situations will affect your present condition in life if you're not careful. But I got good news for you. My God can heal you. My God can heal the inside of people. My God is able to take bitterness and take it out of you. I learned a little song as a child. Maybe you learned this as well. Maybe verse service, really, not many people heard it. Said, you can talk about me as much as you please, but I'm going to talk about you down on my knees. All my sins are washed away. I've been redeemed. A few of you have. And let me say, when that bitterness starts getting in you, you got to hit your knees. You got to hit your knees and give it to God, because if you don't and you're not careful, you'll end up internalizing that bitterness. But my Jesus has the power to make things sweet in your life. I will tell you that. Verse 24, it says it like this. And the people complained against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" So he cried out to the Lord. And the Lord showed him a tree. And he cast it into the waters. And the waters were made sweet. I love this. They're at the waters of Myra. The waters are bitter. And he's shown a tree. Moses takes the tree, puts it in the water, and the water's made sweet for everyone. Get a hold of this. This is one man. This is one tree that made it sweet for all of them. Y'all following this? There's one man. There's one tree that's made it sweet for all of us. There's one man named Jesus Christ. There's one tree that stood on Calvary. And because my Jesus went to Calvary, my life and your life has been made sweet for all of us. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. I dare you. I dare you to take the tree. I dare you to take the tree home with you. I dare you to take the tree and place it. I dare you to place that cross. I dare you to put that tree right in the middle of your job situation. You plant the tree in it and watch what happens. You take that tree and you take it home and you plant it right in the middle of your marriage. Watch what happens. You take that tree, you plant it right in raising your children, right in the middle of it. Watch what happens. You take that tree and you plant it right in the middle of, not on the side, not on this side, but you plant it right in the middle of your life and watch what my Jesus can do. He can make your life sweet again. He can help any situation. My Jesus can. Now, when I was first married, me and my wife, we got into some, I don't know how you say this, Mark. We got into some intense fellowship. Is that how you say that? We got into some intense fellowship. Now, I know you and Karen never had an intense fellowship. Me and my wife, we had some intense fellowship at the beginning. And we y'all don't know what I'm talking about, do you? No, you guys all hugging and kissing and slobbering on each other all the time. We got married. Jimmy Johnson was pretty rough around the edges. And we had some intense fellowship. And we were, I wasn't smart yet at all, and I still am learning a lot. Kathy, I realized my wife can chew me up and spit me out verbally. That's what I learned. So I thought, Corey, I was gonna set things straight. I was 25 years old. I'm gonna set things straight in my house. So I got all arrogant on her. So I begin to tell her, honey, I go to work every day. Honey, I'm out there and I cut the grass. I sweat out in that sun. And I begin to list out all the things I did for the marriage and our marriage and all the things I've done for it. And when I got done, that lady stood up and looked at me, and she began to inform me what I've been leaving out of it. All I'm saying is, you can bake the cake, you can put the flour in it, you can put the egg in it, you can put the milk in it. But if you don't put the sweetener in it, it's a bitter cake. And all I'm saying is, when you go through life, when you're going through life and you're leaving out the sweetener, when you're leaving out my Lord Jesus Christ, when you're not putting him in his place, he's not getting center place in your life, you're not putting the tree where it belongs, you can expect it, if he's not there, to have some bitterness in your life. Because my Jesus is the sweetener of life. Let me leave you with this thought. Let me leave you with this. The enemy does not get final say. God does. The enemy doesn't get final say. My Jesus does. Don't let the bitterness, don't let the bitter situations keep you on the sidelines of life. Life is too short. Life is too short to live in bitterness. Life is too short to live offended. Life is too short to live in self-pity. The situation that you're bitter about, God knows. God already knows what happened. He already knows what happened. Let him take care of it. Quit trying to take care of it. He already knows. And after you give it to him, you just live in the sweetness of Jesus. You just live in the sweetness of Jesus. And I don't know, maybe this is just for me today. But I see too much bitterness. And I see too many of my brothers and sisters going through life. It's like you're hugging that bitterness. When that's not the plan of God in your life. It's intentional to lay it down. It's intentional to hand it and say, Lord, I'm giving this. Remember, cast all your worries and cares on me. Why? Because he cares for you. That's what we're supposed to do. So why would you walk out of here with bitterness? Why would you let bitterness get its hooks in you and just stick in you? All you wake up and you think about it. You go to bed, you're thinking it. Why would you do that? Hand it over. He's just waiting to take it from you. And then you live in the sweetness. You live in your head, in your mind, in the sweetness of Jesus. We're going to have an invitation hymn. If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, and been baptized, no better date. We're ready. We're ready every Sunday. That baptistry's warm. It's ready to go. If maybe you've been hearing this and saying, you know what? I know about the tree, but it's not where it's supposed to be. It's not in the center of my life. It's off to the right. It's off to the left. Maybe you need to get Jesus in the proper place in your life. Maybe you just want to come and sit down and pray today. Let's open it up for that. Maybe there's a situation in your life where bitterness is kind of creeping in, and you just want to put a stop to it and say, you know what? I'm not going to leave here hanging on to this for one more moment. I'm going to let Jesus, he knows what's happened. I'm going to hand it over to him, and I'm going to leave here a free person. I'm going to leave here a free person, and I'm going to walk out here in the sweetness of Jesus. Isn't that a great thought to be walking out these doors in the sweetness of Jesus?